We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim, and welcome to the year 2020 as we turn the calendar on another decade, not just another year, but another decade. And we flip the page with the podcast from football to basketball. We'll have 12 of those over the course of the next 12 weeks, and we look forward to talking to not only the coaches, but the players as well, get their insight on their seasons, both the men and the women's programs. A little bit later on, Sharman Smith will stop by off to a good start, 8-3. They open conference play with a couple of home games this week against the Huskies on Friday, Washington State on Saturday, and then they begin what is an incredible gauntlet of games after that, back-to-back games with Stanford. Then they go to Oregon and Oregon State. They're both ranked in the top three this week, so it'll be quite a season for Sharman in her first campaign as the head coach for the Bears after 12 seasons as an assistant. But joining us first and foremost is head coach Mark Fox, the men's basketball team. Before we talk about your team, you're a football guy. We've talked about this a little bit before. Did you get a chance, based on you're in the getting ready for your first conference game against Stanford, a chance to watch any of the Red Box bowl game on Monday?
Well, the advantage of today's technology is you can watch most of your film on a computer, and you can have the football game playing on your television. Yeah. So I was able to listen to more of it than I watched, but followed the game obviously very closely, and really couldn't be happier for Coach Wilcox and his staff and his team, because I think that they epitomize what the college experience should be about. They dealt with major adversity and to rebound from all the injuries to finish with 8 wins and a bowl win and all the momentum going into next year. I couldn't be happier for those kids and for Coach Wilcox, because I think they've done a fantastic job.
And you've gotten to know Justin a little bit. You've gone to practices. I've seen you there as well. You guys have a lot in common, I think. Have a lot of similarities in that regard. Both very competitive, smart guys. And so I could see where you two would get along really well. And that's important in an athletic program. To have everybody on the same page. You've been to some places. Nevada football was really important there with Chris Ault. He had great success. You were at Georgia, where won a national championship there. So you know the symbiotic relationship that you've got to have with the two major sports at the university.
Well, I have been at some places where football has been very successful, and I hope that we'll continue to be here. I'm just looking down at my phone and and Justin texted me at 5:30 this morning. And we talked, you know, we have developed a great friendship, and we talked the other morning for a half hour. And I think what's important is that for anyone in this position of coaching, that you have to have some confidants that you can lean on. And there's not a lot of people that really understand this current climate of being a head coach in the Pac-12. There's obviously a lot of exposure, a lot of pressure, a lot of expectation, a lot of work. But it's a different animal for probably Justin and I. And so for us to be able to have a great relationship, I think is important. I have always had an admiration for other coaches, and I've learned a lot from other coaches. But this pressure cooker really is unique, and so I think to have those relationships are important. And I've maintained a long friendship with Mark Richt, who was a longtime football coach at Georgia, and obviously, you know, back I go back to my first job at the University of Washington, yeah. And my office was literally 20 steps from Don James, who won a national championship, and we shared the same coffee pot, and I learned a lot about coaching and running a program from just those conversations. And so, you know, this is a relationship that I enjoy, and I hope that they'll be able to ride this momentum into the postseason and have a great offseason.
Yeah, an exciting time. In fact, him texting you at 5:30, when I interviewed him at the post game, you'll get a kick out of this. You're a coach. You watch a lot of tape. I said, how are you going to celebrate your victory tonight? He said, well, I'll probably watch game tape tomorrow. I'm like, Justin, you just won a bowl game. I mean, you're in a quiet period for recruiting. Go have some fun. So I guess it's not surprising that he was up at 5:30 in the morning. Hopefully it was after some sleep during the course of the night and texting people. So congratulations to the football team. Speaking of football, your son Parker's at Clemson. They know all about football. They're looking for their third national championship. I believe he's a walk-on at Clemson. They've got a big game coming up against LSU. Is he pretty excited about what's going on there?
Well, I'll tell you what's happened at Clemson is that Dabo Swinney has, you know, gradually built a great program, and then it reached a level of a championship a few years ago, and they've been able to maintain that. But the spirit in which they've built their program has just spread through the entire Clemson community, and now the entire Southeast, and it really is impressive to see just how the spirit of their football program spread throughout the rest of their university. And obviously, my son is a walk on the basketball team, but he loves Clemson, and it's been a great place for him to go to school, and he's certainly excited about his friends being able to play for another championship. And it's neat that you know their defensive coordinator, Brent Venables, whose parents grew up with my parents, and he went to junior college, the same place I did, and we were at Kansas State together. And he texted me the other night, with the time difference. I don't know. I can't remember what time it was, but it was dinging pretty early. So these football coaches are going to have to let me get a little bit more sleep.
Well, that's for sure. So that'll be an exciting game to watch. Clemson trying to defend against LSU, which has been number one much of the season. All right, let's talk about college basketball in general this year. When you look at non-conference, now we get into conference play for most of the conferences. Some teams have played conference game, but six teams have already been number one. Now, Gonzaga's held on to that spot because basically it's the holiday time right here, but six different teams. Is that what college basketball is going to be in the future with such parity around the country?
Well, I think the parity is a result of 20 years ago we went from 15 scholarships to 13, and now you have so many kids that are leaving school early to try and pursue professional opportunities, and then you have, you know, essentially an average of 2.5 transfers per school, and so there's just no continuity or experience on rosters, and so you just don't have the great teams that you used to have 20 years ago, because there's so much turnover. So with that, I think you're going to continue to see, some parity like we're seeing this year at the top. And ultimately, a team that's battle-tested and established, like a Gonzaga, might stay there for a while.
Yeah, they haven't been one of these one-and-done kind of programs. And their guys are generally 3-4 years. And those programs have had success. Now, there's been the Kentuckys, and obviously other people have gone the one-and-done and had success. But it seems like the teams that have that sustained stability, coaching and players, are having a lot of success. So I like that, and I think it's good for the fans too. You get a guy and you root for him 1 year, and he's gone onto the NBA. And so for the fans, I think it's good to have that as well. All right, short sample, small sample size, 13 games for you, but two new rules that came in this year. One's not a rule; it's a change in the 3-point arc, moved it back out a little bit, and then the flopping rule that we have as well. Short sample size. What's been your reaction? What have you seen so far? Because we did have one game where the flopping did come into play. I think there were two warnings and maybe an actual technical foul as well. What have you seen in that regard with both of those?
I think the flopping is an emphasis that it's a good rule to I think to address flopping, and I think you're seeing less of it already. I think the NBA it's a problem because they haven't addressed it, and in college it's a pretty stiff penalty, and I think Kwani got a flopping call earlier in the year for us, and hopefully I think that'll clean up that part of the game and make the game better. The 3-point line moving back has been a significant change. It's you know, on our team as we rebuild, it's limited the number of guys who actually are a threat from the 3-point line, and so it's making it harder for our team to score because you don't have to honor as many guys away from the basket, and the lane can be even more clogged up. But as you develop shooting on your team, it will open up the court and I think make the game cleaner. And those teams that are good 3-point shooting teams, are having more success this year because they are able to space the floor better and become more than just a 3-point shooting team because there's more space underneath that 3-point line to get some things accomplished.
You faced a couple of teams. St. Mary's was one of those teams. USF shot the 3-pointer as well. But St. Mary's is the one team because you knew going in they were a good 3-point shooting team. How has that changed your defensive philosophy with regard to those kinds of teams?
Well, it's an area that we haven't defended very well. Our efficiencies number defensively from where we scored a year ago, we've moved up 100 places, but we need to move up another 100, if not 150. We just have a long way to go there, and our 3-point defense is an area that is not good enough yet. And part of it is the length of. I mean, we're playing a little bit small, and so you have a smaller guy contesting shots, but it's an area that I think is one that we continually talk about with our team. But great 3-point shooting teams, if they can really maintain that level of shooting with the new line, I think have some advantages.
All right, you led me right into my next area of that topic was recruiting. And your first two recruits in this cycle have been longer wing players. And we hadn't had a chance yet to talk about these two. But Monty Bowser, a local guy from Bishop O'Dowd, both of your guys are in that 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", range. Is that what you were looking for?
We ultimately would like to have a lot of guys that are 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", that will allow us to the versatility to move them around offensively and guys that have that size range and also a versatile skill package that allow them to shoot the three and drive the ball and rebound. But also, when you go to the other end, they allow you to switch defensively, and we just don't have that luxury right now. Matt Bradley, as great of a year as he's having for us, he's at a disadvantage every possession defensively because he's playing the small forward and guarding guys that are bigger than him and longer than him, and that's hard to overcome every possession. And so, ultimately, we have to get longer and bigger And I think that Monty, at his position on the wing, will bring a level of skill and length that we need. He's going to have to add a little weight and strength, but he will. I mean, that's not unusual. And then Jalen Celestin, he's probably a little bit more physically ready out of the gate to contribute right away. But he again adds great length and versatility for his position. And so I think both those guys will certainly help our team immensely next year.
Obviously, on your staff, you've got a young man. Chris has got international experience, primarily from Australia, for the international recruiting. And a lot of people have thought for a long time that Cal, because of its international academic reputation, would have the ability to bring in athletes. And we've seen it in other sports, certainly, the aquatic sports. have a lot of players that come from it. How about basketball? Is that a pipeline that you hope to get established?
There's no doubt that we would like to do our share of international recruiting and you know, because the one thing that the European system, for instance, provides is that those kids, you know, as they come up through the school system, you know, their academics, you know, preparation is a little greater than our country's right now. And you know, even of our couple of our freshmen this year talk about how, hey, you know, I did some of this work already in high school. And I said, well, it's going to get harder, trust me. But so I think the academic transition can be better. But we do have a great global reputation as a university, and to capitalize on that, to find guys that are good enough to help us win on the basketball court is something I think that we should pursue. And so, you know, we obviously have an international flavor to our team. It's not going to be exclusively what we do, but as we rebuild, we're going to have to go a lot of places to find players, and obviously across the pond will be some of that.
All right, let's talk about the new season that begins this week at Stanford against the Cardinal. You've been so intent and focused on each and every game and prepping for the next game. Have you had a chance to get any kind of a feel for what this Pac-12 conference is going to be like this year?
I think the conference has gotten off to a good start. I think it's far better than it was a year ago as far as its perception in the media. But I think there's a lot of quality teams. You know, Oregon obviously is a team that's ranked in the top 10 of the country, and Washington is a team that will be a threat to win at Arizona's heaven. You know, they've kind of returned to their level of excellence, and so at the top, I think you have some really good teams. I mean, Utah has already defeated Kentucky, which, you know, trust me, that's not easy to do. And so I think there's a lot of good teams in the league, and for us, you know, we're starting at the bottom, trying to climb our way up. And the one thing about playing, you know, a lot of good teams in a non-conference is we're preparing to play a lot of good teams in the conference, and so we have to learn how to compete with and beat those level of teams, and because I think the league has got a lot of them.
I think you're exactly right on that, and I think night after night after night, there's just going to be some great games, and the teams that can hold court at home are probably going to have the most success. And I think the one thing the league has done is try to make a more concerted effort to maybe fill the gap from some of the other conferences around the country. They made some efforts to try to their scheduling is going to change in the conference. You're not going to be able to schedule teams that are in the bottom, you know, 15% in the country. That's a big deal. That'll help eventually with the RPI. So that, and next year going to the 20-game schedule, that almost automatically elevates. So, and I think this year was a good recruiting year. I mean, the kids that are freshmen this year, it was a really good recruiting year in the conference. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I know your team is going to get better and better as the season progresses. You start at Stanford, but by the time most people hear this, you will probably have played that game. But we'll wish you a best of luck there. And then next week at home against the Washington schools, appreciate you taking the time. And good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to get started here. We got a long way to go, but I'm excited about it. And I'm really grateful for all of our Cal family who have been so understanding of the challenges that we have, and such great partners so far as we move forward. So Happy New Year to everybody.
All right, Happy New Year as well. All right, Head Coach Mark Fox at Stanford on Thursday. Then we'll host the Huskies and the Cougars next week. Next up, we'll talk to Sharman Smith, the women's basketball, as we continue on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Joining us now is Sharman Smith. And Sharman, you guys are off to a good start, 8-3. You start conference play this week with the Washington schools at home. And then you've got a week next week with the Stanford road and home. And then the Oregon schools. I mean, there's no rest as you roll your eyes in this league this year. You've got three of the top 10 teams, or top five teams, I guess it is, this week in the poll. It's a really good league. But let's talk about your team. You're 8-3. As you enter conference play, what have been your overall thoughts about how your team has played and responded so far this year?
I think we're doing a good job of playing extremely hard, which I'm proud of, and that's going to be crucial in Pac-12 play. The effort has to be there. I think we've been a smart team. We've had some close games, and we've been really good in, you know, late special situations and executing down the stretch. So, you know, I feel good about where we are.
Started the season with a road trip back east. Harvard, tough loss, but 3 points there. Then you play at UConn, and you're playing pretty tough there. So, I mean, that's a tough road trip to make. Then you come at home and you run off a number of wins, including a victory over 20th ranked Arkansas. Then recently, a really close game against 15th ranked Kentucky at the time. And then you cap things off with a victory over Grand Canyon. What's been most pleasing about the first 11 games this year?
You know, I think we're getting a lot of contributions from a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. So it's good to have some balance. I like that we were able to get a win over a top 20 team, you know, and be right there with Kentucky and UConn. Mm-hmm. So I think it's given us some confidence to know that we can, you know, compete with some of the higher level teams. And then we also know we had some close games against some other opponents that maybe where we need to clean up some things and be even better if we want to have a shot in Pac-12 play.
All right. You inherit a squad that has some returners, a lot of newcomers as well, but without Christina Nigwe. So this team, your style is totally different than what we've seen in the last couple of years. What can fans who come to the games expect to see from your team? Because the last couple of years, it's been try to get the ball to Christine on the post and then work off of that. What about this year's team?
Well, I think, again, the number one thing is our effort and, you know, the energy that we're going to bring every single night. We have to play extremely hard. It's the only way we have a chance. And I think that's what fans want to see. Mm-hmm. So we start there. And then in terms of the style of play, we really want to move the ball around and share the ball. And we have a lot of people that are, you know, capable of taking shots. We're not just looking for one person. We've had, you know, different people in double figures mm-hmm. in games, and we want to keep making it so that we're not as scoutable. Mm-hmm. And that on any night, you've got to be ready for whether it's Jalen or Jazzy or CJ or Ave. You know, we've got people that can knock down shots.
Oh, Jalen Brown already has been named once this year the National Player of the Week for her efforts in that victory over Arkansas. She had 30 points and it's double digits rebounds. I can't remember if it was 10 or 12 at this point in time, but she had a double-double. She's the real veteran. She's played the most minutes on your squad. And so she's got to be kind of your leader, I would assume.
Yeah, I think she's stepped up as a go-to player. Yeah. You know, I think we have a ton of leadership on this team coming from a lot of people. So, you know, CJ is extremely vocal. Our freshmen, you know, Lay and Kylan at the point position, they talk all the time, and they're really helping with that leadership piece. So it's coming from a lot of people, and obviously Jalen right now is the shot maker.
You talked about Leilani. A freshman that has come in, a young gal that, you know, freshmen oftentimes can be overwhelmed. And with the ball in her hands a lot, I think the most remarkable statistic I look at, and I think most coaches would as well, is the assist to turnover ratio. Okay. And for her, it's basically 2-1, which is outstanding for a young player. Why has she been able to assimilate as quick as she has?
Yeah, I mean, she's just a really good basketball player. And we talked, you know, in her individual meeting, I told her I need that ratio to be at least 2-1. So, you know, she's sticking to it, you know, but she's just really good. And we're really fortunate. You know, we found her late. We got her in July and really happy to have her leading this squad right now. She's very talented. And I think, you know, once she gets her shot going, she'll be even harder to guard and harder for opponents to slow down.
All right, one of the players getting more playing time this year by a design and necessity would be Chen Yua, the young woman from China. She's got a great bubbly personality. I just saw her in the hallway, always got a smile on her face. And I watched her in person in the Santa Clara game where she kind of had a breakout, had 10 and 10. She's going to have to play for you because of the size makeup of your roster. What have you seen as far as her improvement from the previous years to this year?
Yeah, I mean, Chen's been working every single day to be a great basketball player. You know, she just had a first round WNBA draft pick ahead of her. So she's doing things that I knew she could do. And it's great to see her have the opportunity, you know, to be able to go out and show others what she can do. She's just extremely smart. She knows where everyone is supposed to be on the court. She, you know, she's in the right spot. She makes great decisions. She's a great facilitator as a post player. So we're really lucky to have her stepping up for us this season.
All right. So from the previous 12 years, you're now one chair over. Tell us what that's been like for you to move a small distance as far as feet and inches, but the complete different realm and world that you now have in the number one spot?
Yeah. You know, I just think I'm really, really lucky to have my first season be with this group that I have. Mm-hmm. They're just a great group of players that make me feel more confident. You know, they've bought in. I can tell that they believe in me. The coaching staff is doing a really good job of supporting me and helping me with decisions. It doesn't feel that different. I know that it is, but it just feels like, you know, a basketball game. You're coaching and you're making decisions. And the difference is, like, I would speak my choice out there to Lindsay, and she could either take it or she could say, no, I'm going to do this, you know? And now it's like, I put something out there and it's going to happen. I think if you surround yourself with the right people, that, you know, you can reach your full potential. And I think that's what's happening right now with us.
As an assistant coach, a lot of times you're the buffer between the players and the head coach. Sometimes that can be the case. Mm-hmm. And now as the head coach, you've got to make more decisions on different components, more so maybe even off the court than on the court. Mm-hmm. Who have you, in addition to your staff, who have you relied on to help guide you as to how to make those decisions and how that goes about?
I think I have a pretty good sense, you know, and Lindsay gave me a lot of responsibility. Okay. So I've been okay with making the decisions. There have been a lot, you know, and then there are people, you know, where I have phoned a friend. Like, I talk to Lindsay a lot. You know, there have been some conversations I've had with her. I had a text conversation with Courtney Banghart about some things. You know, the new coach at UNC who has been at Princeton for forever. You know, Tara has been there for me even since I've been here. So, you know, I think I have a good support system outside of our staff. And then I do feel confident, you know, just with my kind of internal compass guiding me the right way as well.
Well, you've had great mentors over the years, obviously. How's Lindsay doing? Give us an update. How's she liking the life in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's heaven for her. You know, she's just such a basketball junkie. And, you know, I text her and she said, yeah, I'm got the Harden scout right now working on Houston. And
good luck with that.
You know, yeah. And, you know, she texted and said, you know, up close with Serge Ibaka. This is like, you know, these are the best players on the planet. And she's getting a chance to game plan against them and coach some of them. You know, Cleveland has some good players as well. So I'm really happy for her.
Well, people can keep up with what Lindsay's doing because she's texting a lot. There's a lot of pictures. There's a lot of videos.
Yeah.
So Lindsay is not and never has been somebody that lives in a shell. She's out there. And so if people want to keep track of what Lindsay's doing, it's not that hard to do. All right. The last time we talked was before the letter of intent period. And I mentioned at the time that it looked like you guys were going to have a pretty good class. As it ended up, it was better than a pretty good class. It was a really, really good class, top 10, as high as number 6 in the country. Can you go over some of those players a little bit and who they are and what you hope they bring to the Cal basketball team in the future?
Yeah, I mean, really excited about them. You know, Lele is a versatile player. You know, I won't put her at a specific position. Mm-hmm. She's 6'4", can handle the ball, can shoot it, can post up, can pass. She's just extremely versatile, and I'm excited about her. She's going to help us defensively as well. I got to see her recently playing at the TOC, so that was cool. Michelle from the Cal Sparks, just an explosive athletic post player, will remind some of Jen Brandon.
That was my first thought.
Yeah, she's a leaper. She grabs boards, you know, off the rim. She's just a phenomenal athlete. I'm really excited to see her. I think I get to go see her play next week, so looking forward to that. And then Fatu from Houston, solid low block post player. Runs the floor well, really smart, basketball IQ. So excited to have her in the fold too. With losing Chen and CJ, mm-hmm. You know, it was crucial to add some size. So we have that. And then Ornella from Greece, she's a combo guard, shoots it really well, has good speed, and she's just such a hard worker. Mm-hmm. And she really, really understands what this opportunity is about. It was really kind of precious to see how excited she was when we offered her the scholarship. And I'd say for all four of them, like, they appreciate the opportunity to get a Cal degree. They love Berkeley and they love their future teammates, and they're going to be great additions to this family.
So you got three bigs and a wing slash shooter score type of player, augmented with what you've brought in this year at the guard positions as well. What other components do you hope to add in the future, either near future or maybe even next year?
Yeah, I think, we're looking for, in the next class, we're looking for that point guard that's going to come in and be ready, you know, with the group that we have. We're still looking for a big. So, you know, someone.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Charmin, because when you were playing 6'3", 6'4", was pretty big. Now, I mean, you look at some of these rosters in the league. Oregon State's got a 6'9 player. Some of the other players, it's now in the 6'7", 6'8", 6'9 range.
Right. Yeah, we need that. So we're looking for that. So we have someone to guard Oregon State's bigs.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just like kind of best player available, just like a baller, you know, we're looking for ballers right now, but they have to understand, you know, the commitment that we want from people to be here at Berkeley. And I think that one of the biggest changes that we have right now, is just this culture and chemistry is unlike anything I've felt here at Cal before. And I mean, even with a Final Four team, I mean, they truly care about one another. They're truly selfless and invested in this team, this family. And I told them, like, this is going to get us through the tough times of Pac-12 play. And, you know, we've got a schedule ahead of us. And I'm really confident that as long as we just stick together, right? Just stick together and put our heads down and just plow through it. I think we'll be pleased with where we end up.
Speaking of recruiting, and I asked this to Mark Fox, because of the international Cal brand, do you look to continue? I mean, how important will international recruiting be for your team?
Yeah, I think it continues to get bigger and more popular. You know, obviously Ornella from Greece, we have some more kids over there that we're interested in, you know, with, I mean, Sarah and Chen and, you know, we've had international students. It's been a thing and it is easy. They do, you know, kind of perk up when you say Berkeley. Like, oh, okay. Great school. So, you know, we'll keep looking for those pieces.
Mark was also saying that he felt as the boys and the girls come through the European system, that the academic component is really good for those kids. And at least the kids that he has looked at academically, they're able to come here and handle the rigors that present themselves at Cal. Do you see that on the women's side as well?
I've seen a little bit of both, you know. Sometimes they're extremely prepared and other times there's a struggle, you know. It could be language barrier. It could just be, you know, not taking the right coursework and such. So I've seen a little bit of both.
All right, let's talk about that gauntlet that you were referring to, the Pac-12 conference. I'm sure most people thought that the two undefeated teams, as we are doing our podcast this week in the league, would be Colorado and Arizona. No, that's not the case. But you've got 2, 3, and 5. You got Oregon State. Stanford's currently number 5. They were number 1. Mm-hmm. Oregon's been number 1. Mm-hmm. UCLA is number 10 in the poll. You've got Arizona is in the poll. We know how good Arizona State has been. Utah last year was a borderline tournament team. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've said this in the last couple of years, can it get any better? And I guess the answer is yes in this league. When you'd look at, you've been around this thing a long time in this conference as a player, an assistant, now a head coach. Why has the Pac-12 suddenly, in the last 4 or 5 years, ascended to be the number 1 conference in the country for women's basketball?
I mean, I think recruits are just wiser and realizing that they don't have to go all the way to the East Coast to do something special and to be in a competitive conference, you know, and it only takes a few, like Sabrina staying, you know, West Coast. I wish she would have stayed home, but, you know, staying West Coast, you know, Kelsey Plum staying on the West Coast and being at Washington, it makes a huge difference. And, you know, those teams being in the Final Four, I would say it's because of those two, you know, and then Oregon State, the job that Scott has done there to pick that team up and get them to be a national contender. I think it's just really phenomenal. You know, Adia is doing a great job at Arizona. Mm-hmm. This conference is filled with really talented coaches, and now we're getting to keep the talented players out here as well. And that will, you know, and pull from the East Coast and bring some more out here. But honestly, I can't even, I mean, I know why this conference is good, but our mindset and our focus right now is Washington because this conference is so good. Like every night is a war. It's just crazy. You know, trying to figure out what we're going to do with Melgoza. Like, what are we going to do? You know, how are we going to guard him? Everyone on the court can shoot the three. Jody mixes up things defensively and tries to force you into turnovers and rush shots and such. So we've got our hands full. But, you know, we'll try to get ready for Friday and take our shot.
So the Bears will host the Huskies Friday night at 7. Then Sunday at 5 o'clock, they'll host the Washington State Cougars as Pac-12 play begins. Shyman, we appreciate your time as always. Happy New Year. Have a great 2020, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Sharman Smith, the Bears off to an 8-3 start. They'll host the Huskies and the Cougars this week. That wraps it up for our first basketball podcast of the year. We certainly wish each and every one of you a happy New Year, safe and prosperous. And until the next time, I'm Todd McKim. Go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.